Welcome to the Young Enough Podcast. We're Dan and Shawnee Perotti from Yes, Young Enough to Serve. Here, we highlight powerful testimonies from older adults, sharing how God's faithfulness has carried them through life. Their stories remind us that God's goodness is for every generation.
Well, Wes and Judy, thank you so much for joining this conversation on the Young Enough Podcast. We're so thankful to have you here today. Wes and Judy, you are the founders of Young Enough to Serve, this ministry that we have joined you in. And you're not only that, but you're dear friends to us. We met you in 2017 at a senior adult conference in Branson, Missouri. And we will talk a little bit more about that, but you also have become true mentors of ours as we have joined you in this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we would love to hear a little bit more about you, just how long you've been married, your family, your kids, your grandkids. And then if you wouldn't mind sharing just how long you both have been followers of Jesus, we would love to hear that.
Yeah, just location-wise, we live in Scotts Valley, California, in the Santa Cruz Mountains. So we're surrounded by redwoods and pretty close to the ocean. So we love living here in north central California. And Judy can tell you about our family.
Okay, well, I think we've been married for 44 years and God has blessed us with four kids. We started off with twins, boy, girl twins, and then the other two singletons, our sons. And so we have the four kids, they're all married and they have blessed us with 12 grandchildren. And our kids are spread out from the West Coast to the East Coast and in Colorado. And we just absolutely love and value any time that we get to see any of them.
Oh yeah, I know you're a tight-knit family for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we started, yes, it was just us and our four kids. So now having 12 grandkids later, no, is it 10 or 12?
We have 12.
12, excuse me. 12 grandkids later. And all as of this time right now, all 10 and under. But, and so four in-laws added, son-in-law and three daughters-in-law and all the grandkids. So things have changed quite a bit since we first started the Yes.
Bet. And then how long have you been following the Lord? How long have you had a personal relationship with Jesus?
Yeah, for me, it was 7 years old, gave my heart to the Lord just after neighborhood Bible study. A local neighbor of ours just asked me if I'd ever asked Jesus into my heart, and I hadn't. So she took me into her house and I asked the Lord into my life.
Yeah. And I also accepted the Lord when I was seven. We're both in our early 70s now, so it's been a long, incredible journey. And not that we both haven't fallen short many, many times, but the joy of walking with the Lord for our lives is just something that we thank Him for every single day.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and us both, that's for sure. So, yeah, talking about part of your story, let's go back to just before the beginning of Young Enough to Serve. How did all that begin to shape for the two of you as God was leading you from one thing to the next? Tell us about the beginning of that.
Yeah, it started percolating first with Judy, so I'll let her tell the very first part of the story.
Okay, I was working for a Christian financial service and working with a lot of donors in their estate plan. They had left a lot of times, you know, gifts for their family and then gifts for either their church or some charity nonprofit that they were really passionate about. And when I would meet with them at their kitchen table and talk to them about their family, their grandkids, they would get very animated. Now that I am a grandma, I totally understand that more now than I did then. But anyway, just loved it when they would talk about their family. And then when I would talk about, ask them about their church, It was more times than I like to see that they were really disgruntled with their local church. Mm-hmm. And so these are, you know, seniors, saints that have, you know, served Jesus all of their lives. And I'm not at all saying that they were not problematic to their pastor in some ways, if for their attitudes or whatever, or the other hand where, you know, the pastor was just really more focused on younger families or, you know, just younger generations. And so anyway, there was just a real disconnect. And the more and more interviews I had, the more that kind of story surfaced. And one night I was traveling and I was staying at a hotel, and I went back to my hotel and I just wept. And I just said, God, this doesn't seem like this is the picture of how the church should be. And we have these saints that, some of them, yes, there's the weird attitude and all that, the grumpiness part, but it's like there's this plethora of seniors that have followed you and served you, but they feel like they're not tapped into, they're shelved. And I just want to make myself available if there's anything that I can do, that Wes can do to help bridge that gap. We make ourselves available. And you know what happens when you make yourselves available. So
Oh yeah, for sure.
thus it was not long after that yes, Young Enough to Serve was birthed.
Yeah, at the same time, I was working at a Christian university in development and meeting also with a lot of older clients. And I was always trying to make a connection between the university and their church. And when I asked them, if they had anybody attending our college from their church, and they would just kind of look at me with a blank stare and just say, you know what, I really don't know any of the young people in my church. We older adults, we do our thing, they do their thing. And so there was just no interaction between the generations. And so that was just another thing that just troubled both of us, just seeing how separate everything had become. And the older adults were in their own little peer bubble, and the younger people in their peer bubble, and they really connecting intentionally at all. So in a lot of churches, some churches were making it happen, but quite a few just seemed to be that seemed to be the norm. So
So you were in your mid-50s, about our age, when
correct.
this all
Yeah.
came to a head, and you felt
Yeah,
this
yeah.
sense to step into this ministry or develop this ministry, really. And
Yeah,
that is a
well,
tough.
look, we were once that young. Oh my gosh. Okay, that
Oh, you still are. You still are.
young
This
enough.
feels so good,
Sure.
Judy. So
that is a time for most people where they're really, that is their greatest earning power time, right? In their careers. And a lot of times they're developing or they're thinking about the future, retirement, and developing a nest egg and saving. And so you took a big risk in walking away from your careers and developing this ministry. So would you share how that felt for you, that risk, and then also just what were your, how did you overcome those concerns about stability in general?
Yeah, I would say the risk was there, and we did realize that this had the potential of falling flat and not working out. At the same time, we saw the need, we felt the calling, and really weren't that concerned about the financial implications. Our kids, we were getting pretty close to the empty nest, and so it seemed like a good time to take the risk and just go out and we were reinforced by some people, and then other people just said, "Man, don't quit your day job. This field, most people serving with older adults, they're either volunteer or part-time. Churches don't invest in older adults, so don't put all your eggs in that basket." But by the time we heard that advice, we were already in completely, and so just and so it, the risk part of it. Yeah, we just definitely had a trust that God was going to provide, and our home church was really gracious and gave us a startup for the first 6 months that really helped cover our salary for the first 6 months. So that took a little bit of the risk out of the first 6 months.
What a
After,
blessing.
oh, huge blessing, yeah.
Huge.
And that was Christian Life Center in Santa Cruz, and so just after that, though. We really felt that's when the financial realities kind of hit. It's like, oh,
Month seven came.
so yeah,
Right.
became more challenging from that point
Oh,
forward.
yeah. I
But God
think.
has been so faithful. I just have to say that. Just give him all the glory. He is so faithful. And not that things haven't been tight or just wondering, okay, how is this going to work out? But through it all, we honestly can say he has been faithful.
Yeah. Wow.
And we are in that spot. So we're feeling all those things. I think, you know, sometimes when people sense a calling and they step into it, and there's so many clunks along the way and hard things and a lot of sacrifice, it can feel like, is this right? And so we have to remember that we're not promised smooth sailing when the Lord asks us to do step into something. There's risk involved and there's hardship, you know, through that. Wes, you have written a book, and I wanted to share this quote from it because I think it so well parallels the story of Jesus inviting the disciples to join him and just the stage of your life where you stepped in and answered this calling. Your book is called Have To, right here, The Quest for a God-Honoring Encore. And it really is good for that person who is nearing retirement or stepping into retirement and just reevaluating their second half in light of what God might be having for them next, might be giving them to steward. So I just want to encourage you, we are going to, you can find this at yestoserve.org, but we will add a link so that you can follow that and check out Wes's book.
You can also get it directly from Amazon as well. So.
It's true. Yeah. But I want to share this quote because I think it's so neat. It's on page 134, Wes. It says, "Let's turn for a moment to the fishermen Jesus called to be his disciples. Unworthy, inadequate? Yes, yes. What if they had been unwilling in the present moment to lay down their nets to follow him? After all, they were immersed in their professions and likely had mouths to feed and bills to pay. I'm sure some of them wrestled with the inconvenient timing of Jesus' invitation. It was an honor to be asked, but couldn't he just wait until fishing season was over? By staying with their nets, they too would have missed the boat." And I think that's such a powerful example of Jesus calls us when he does. And he always calls us no matter what age or stage we are in. So thank you for sharing that in your book. It's such a helpful tool.
Yeah. So glad those disciples were faithful and just responded. And we don't hear any hesitation and them going for it. So,
yeah. No kidding. Right. No kidding. So you've ramped up into ministry and now, you're going along. Talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges or even the disappointments, that you faced along the way, some of what you encountered that wasn't so positive as you stepped faithfully, similarly to the disciples, in what God laid out for you.
Yeah, I think when Wes and I talked about this question earlier, I think one thing for me that was disappointing, and I feel like I just want to preface it by saying, oh my goodness, there were just more Christians that I felt like were involved and serving and loving Jesus with all their hearts. But there was also just a large number that just seemed so content with status quo of going to church instead of really being the church. And so just trying to, you know, through yes, getting in and with God's help, you know, giving them that that little kick that you know, we felt would be helpful, which turned out to be very helpful to some, but to those that didn't respond that way or just felt so content with just showing up, but not having the heart of really getting involved. And we totally get the physical limitations. I mean, that. Talk more about that later, but still there's a heart, you know, like I had a woman the other day that told me, she goes, "Now, Judy, I won't be able to go on some of the serving projects, but just know that we're always cheering you guys on and we're always praying." Mm-hmm. And I said, please don't look at that as, you know, down the list. That's the top thing. If we don't have people bathing this ministry in prayer and bathing our outreaches in prayer, well, then, you know, I don't want to go. I think just some of the Christians that we've encountered that just seem real content with just status quo, that's a little challenging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we can relate to that. We've had some of that experience in our own efforts of ministry here with Young Enough. But yeah, we keep going. Wes?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the scalability, sometimes we have hopes that, boy, just multiple churches are going to catch the vision And we feel like what we're doing is so biblically solid as far as connecting generations and people having a heart to serve the Lord to the very end. Those messages seem very biblical, making disciples, our call to make disciples. So it just seemed to me that it would be easy for churches to shift their paradigm toward that. But there's a lot of ingrained patterns that, and it's not that people can't change or can't learn new things as they get older, but change is tougher, especially for older leaders who've done it a certain way, and they don't want to disappoint people that have kind of grown used to their program. And so, and then sometimes it's a challenge, if they're going to do some serving event, then they're concerned that not everybody can participate because some have physical challenges and things like that. So, just the scalability. We have some wonderful stories of yes, catching fire in churches, and one leader up in not Minnesota, but Montana. I was able to help mentor her, and she read my book, and so she was starting out fresh and new, and she was younger, like early 60s, which I know that sounds old to you, but it's young to us now.
Oh, it doesn't seem that old anymore.
But she wrote back and she said, I think you'll really be glad to know that most of the volunteers in our second half adult program are in their 20s. And so that was like, oh my goodness, just that dynamic happening within a church. It's powerful. And so we wish there were just tons of stories like that, but we're happy that many churches have caught on to a stronger vision for serving.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I get excited when I hear about churches always making an effort to leave the side door open concerning their older adult ministry events and opportunities, so that other age groups can get in, and we can heal back, if you will, the family of all ages that are that exists in our church, and not see so much operate with fractures. So that's really exciting to hear. Of course, yeah, getting those feedbacks, that can really make a day. Just affirming that you're doing the right thing. Anything else to add there? You kind of answered my second question, Wes, but Judy, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I just think that it's been just a tremendous growing thing, just spiritually, for us as individuals and as a couple. We really feel like we've grown, definitely just a lot closer spiritually, and it has been so. Well, I'm getting more into the victories than the challenges, but it's just so encouraging when you see that light bulb go on with seniors, or you hear stories that you didn't expect to hear. It's not a ministry that has measurable outcomes that are hard to measurable outcomes that you can necessarily put on paper or your, quarterly reports or things like that, but it's stories you hear down the road of, wow, this really helped inspire me, da 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 da. And just, how someone is just proactively serving Jesus is really exciting.
Oh,
Love
absolutely.
that. Love that. So thinking about you two in this journey, what is something that you have learned about yourselves as you have stepped into this and stewarded this thing for all these years? What is something you've learned just about your own selves?
For one thing, I think we've had to learn to practice what we're preaching. It's like when we started again, we were close to your age, and I think the vantage point when you're younger, possibly healthier, maybe a little more energy, all that, you kind of superimpose that over older adults. And as people get older and their energy may diminish a little bit, or they're not quite as, a lot of people are just as sharp as they ever have been. But sometimes, there's just a little bit of cognitive decline for some people. But having those expectations, those are it's been a good learning curve, just to hear people say, okay, you're going to think a little bit differently when you hit this age than you do right now. So those are learning curves, but we again just felt very, very blessed to to be on this journey, and we really made it a point coming into this fairly young. You've worked with older adults in your early to mid 40s, and so you've experienced this very directly. And when we started in our early 50s, there were a lot of people that just said, "Okay, you're a little bit too young to be in a leadership position with older adults." But you don't know what this is all about yet because you haven't experienced it. But you don't have to experience everything directly. You can learn a lot just from observation and conversations and study of the word and just looking at biblical examples of people who aged very well and then others who didn't.
And what about just following the Lord in this? What have you learned about him? What has he shown you about himself?
Yeah. Boy, his faithfulness for sure.
Yeah. But go ahead. Yeah, no, I just feel like his faithfulness from the very beginning. Again, like I don't mean to repeat myself, but there have been some hardships and there have been some dry times. But even in those times, I feel like I feel so blessed to be married to Wes. And it seems like when ministry wise, if one of us were a little down or discouraged, the other one was there to lift them up. It was very rare that both of us were discouraged at the same time. You know, we've talked about that, how we're just so grateful that God has allowed one of us to always be, you know, a little bit more positive at the time when really needed, or, you know, uplifting or whatever.
We can definitely relate to that. Yeah. I'm really Miss Happy, and that always helps me. I like to say that if God will use me, he'll use anybody. And that's definitely true. And another thing that I've learned is I know you've learned this as well, is that God doesn't wait until we're ready. He waits when he's ready. He calls us out. And that's always the best timing, regardless of how we feel. And we realize that as we step forward in this new opportunity that he's laid in front of you. Take a bit of a shift here. Let's go back again and talk about the story that's about how we got connected to you from your perspective, because that did start a new direction for both of us, ultimately, not right away, both sets of us, immediately, but things did begin to evolve, if you will, in a new and fresh direction. And Shani's got a story about that as well. But first, let's hear from you guys.
Yeah, well, Wes and I were teaching a workshop in Branson, Missouri, and unbeknownst to us, Shawnee was in that workshop class. So we didn't know Shawnee, didn't know you guys at all. But when you're speaking to a room full of primarily seniors, and you see this younger person that is just like drinking it in, your eyes do just tend to gravitate towards, you know, just someone younger that's really, you know, taking notes like crazy and just really drinking it in. And so, you know, we're both sharing, and we both later shared with each other that we saw Shawnee, okay? But after class, you know, we were talking to other people, and she went off. Unbeknownst to us, you know, we heard the story later that, Shawnee, you went back and told Dan, "Hey, I want you to go with me tomorrow to this workshop with Wes and Judy Wick. They said it's going to be a repeat of what they did today. I'll go through it again just to be there with you." Mm-hmm. And again, now she's back, and it's like, oh boy, I hope she knows this is going to be a repeat. And so anyway, then you guys stayed after class and you sat there. And I just remember that you both had tears in your eyes. And Wes and I, we couldn't get to you guys close enough. And when we got, or quick enough, and when we got over to you, introduced ourselves and everything, I'll let Wes pick up now, but it was definitely a gift.
Just a neat God appointment. And we just sensed a kindred spirit right away, obviously.
For us too.
Yeah, I'll never forget. You know, Dan was senior adult pastor at our church, and we definitely were facing some challenges because we had, being in our 40s, we had a desire to engage our older adults within the body of the church. Mm-hmm. And it felt like we were limited, you know, to luncheon or those different typical things. And when I stepped into your class, it was like you were articulating in words what we had been feeling. And it was so neat to see you valuing older adults, but also nudging them, you know, just this good teaching. And so I was so excited because there were words to what we were feeling. And I knew Dan would be so encouraged. And so it really gave us a confidence that, hey, this is a real thing. It's not just our own slant, you know, and it fueled a lot of our motivation as senior adult leaders to try some things and to not be afraid. And especially like you talked about us being younger, there was a sense like, are we going to be accepted? Are they going to be able to learn from us or hear from us because we're younger than them? And so you just gave us such a confidence boost. And then obviously Dan stayed involved with the ministry. And then here we are today. we have joined you and we're stepping in with a greater role. But I wanted to just ask you, you know, you had stewarded this ministry for all these years. It was your baby. The Lord had entrusted you with this. And I know you, because we had heard from you, that you had sensed like, you know, someday we want this to continue on. And we're praying for the Lord to bring people in who would continue this ministry on. But passing on the baton is hard. It's a really hard thing because it's your baby and you have had this vision and this heart. And, you know, you are who you are and God gave you certain gifts and the people that would come in to join you will have different gifts and strengths and weaknesses. But if you can just honestly share, how has that been for you?
Yeah. For one thing, we just know it's his baby, not our baby. So, you know, it's something that the Lord prompted in as far as ministry. And we know, you know, people have told us, oh, transition in leadership's always messy. We want this ministry to continue to grow and thrive. And we see you guys coming on as fulfilling that vision. And yes, it will be different in some ways, but just so there is some of that just in the natural. You don't want to lose certain parts of the ministry that you feel are really worthwhile. Some things can take it or leave it, but then other new things that are added, you just want to make sure it's not going to detract from the core mission that got us going in the first place.
When Wes and I started talking a few years ago about the transition and, you know, who God would bring, it was really first in so important to us that God would bring someone. The thought of this ministry folding up and, you know, dying after we retired was just, it was a sickening feeling because we just felt so much in this. The mission is now more than ever. It's just so needed. Mm-hmm. And so our prayer was, God, please bring an individual or a couple that will love you with all of their hearts, that will love the older population and understand the importance of connecting them with the younger generation and vice versa, and that really will take yes beyond anything that we could have ever dreamed. And so when
it no pressure there.
Go ahead. Found it in you guys, okay? That couple is with zero questions in our mind that you are an answer to prayer. I mean, honestly, I think every if not every day, every week, there'll be something that Wes and I'll just say, Jesus, thank you for the blessing of Dan and Shawnee. Thank you that they're the ones, you know. It's not just like, oh, he brought a couple, but he brought you guys. And we are so blessed and so humbled that this amazing qualified couple is stepping to the plate. And we really do believe that you will take yes further than we ever dreamed. And so that really helps with the transition. You know, let me just say, yesterday, with all the back to school postings and everything, and just our own grandkids going back to school and us calling them, you know, praying for them for their first days of school. It obviously took me back to when our kids were small and sending them away. And without fail, I would take them, walk them to school. I would come back to the kitchen. I would have a little crying session. And that crying session lasted for about 5 minutes. And then before I knew it, it's like, oh my word, they're already coming home. You know, it just went by so fast. So you just, every phase is like a new chapter. And there's a little bit of, you know, mourning, or a little bit of like, you know, I can't say that I haven't had a thought like, oh, I wished I would have done that. Or, oh, I love it that Dan and Shawnee, I'm human. So obviously there's going to be those kinds of thoughts. But the overriding thing is you are our gift. You're the gift, yes, and you are truly God's gift to this mystery. And we cannot cheer you on any more than
Judy, that means a lot, honestly.
It means so much.
Thank you. You know, from our perspective, Wes, you said that this ministry isn't our baby, it's God's baby. Well, in passing the baton to us, if you will, I think we kind of look at it, at least I do, that this is your baby that belongs to God. That's what we're taking. Now, there's pressure on our end, if you will, to want to do well by it. You're releasing the baton, we're taking it. If you're giving the baton to me, now it is my job to run and you're done. But not in the case of ministry, not in the case of what God has for us, because that moment is never done. Speak to the fact, if you will, encourage the listener to know that even though you've released the baton of something to someone else, that you're still in the race. What have you learned about that? And you've encouraged this so many times to so many people. Encourage the listener now of what that actually looks like, what you think that means.
Yeah, one of the speakers for our video series is Chuck Stecker. Our video series is online, Finishing Strong. Chuck Stecker talks about how people kind of confuse the baton of engagement with the mantle of leadership. So we are passing on the mantle of leadership. We're not saying our lives are over. We're not saying we're done with ministry. We're not saying even our interest in yes is over. Mm-hmm. So we are passing on the mantle of leadership, but that baton of engagement is really that's the part that a lot of people feel like they're retired, their life is over, there's no purpose. It's like, no, you've got purpose. And I think retirement itself is kind of a question mark, as far as, you know, it's only mentioned one time in all of scripture in Numbers, when the Levites retired at age 50, but they still could remain active in some other capacities. So it's staying active, you know, finding other things. There's no shortage of opportunity out there. You know, if we feel like we're laying down the baton and walking off the track and our life is over, it's like, no, we are still here. That understanding that God's purpose for us does not stop when we pass the mantle of leadership. Our purpose continues. And we had a friend that did track, and he said, you know, as a member of the track team, if you take off your shirt while the other runners are running, your team can be disqualified. Mm-hmm. So still there. You're still part of the team. That baton passing is a critical element of the race. Our pastor just a couple of weeks ago shared with me that he was a track coach, and his guys, if you measured them up one-on-one with their competitors in the relay, their numbers were slower, but because they did so well in passing the baton, they would win some of these relay races that there's just no expectation that they would win. But so the passing of the baton with some finesse and having, you know, just doing it well is just a critical part of that. So that metaphor doesn't really show up in scripture, but I mean, we hear a lot about running the race and all that, but definitely you just want to pass the baton in a way that has just longevity, and just the fact that we've had a relationship for over 7 years, that's huge. And just, we've worked together. So it, you know, I think, you know, if we had somebody else coming in just fresh into yes now and taking the baton and not really knowing us and knowing each other, we've had a real advantage.
So we have never felt coming into this that we were equipped. Mm-hmm. In fact, quite the opposite, where we felt so desperately in need of you. So there was never this sense that, okay, we have ideas and we just kind of wish Wes and Judy would, you know, it's been the opposite almost, where we have so loved and appreciated your investment in us. Mm-hmm. Teaching us, Wes, you're a brilliant writer. Mm-hmm. And so your guidance in editing and just helping us in areas where we're lacking have been so vital. And then Judy, you and I have been able to work together, collaborating and sharing these amazing stories of people, which is like my favorite thing in the world to do. And I'm so glad you started that, because I wouldn't have thought of that on my own. And so I got to join you and just kind of learn what the process is. But what this has really taught me and given me such a deep belief in is for people to have an older and a younger mentor in their life. Because what I'm learning and I'm seeing the value in is we have opportunity to teach you and you have opportunity to teach us. And that is so, so the whole design behind Young Enough to Serve, the whole heart. And so we're practicing it. We're forced. Right. We're essentially put in a situation where we're having to practice that. And it is clunky, but it's so beautiful. And we would be remiss if we didn't take this transition time to really absorb all that you are offering us. And so we're so thankful, so mm-hmm. thankful for that. This timing in your life, you know, this time of transition, what are you learning about God's timing in all of this for you?
Yeah, I had a major wake-up call for me just in May of this year. I got the diagnosis of having leukemia. So that was CLL, chronic lymphocytic leukemia. So it's a mild, the word is really scary. Leukemia and cancer can scare you. But for me, it's probably going to be about a year and a half to 2 years before I begin treatment. Mm-hmm. So but it was just a reinforcement when, you know, you guys had already been on board for about a year when this diagnosis happened. So it's like just God's reinforcement that, you know, I'm glad we weren't scrambling to find new leaders. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. I don't know about my health, and let's scramble and find somebody else to, or shut things down or whatever. It's like, no, you just... So just that element of uncertainty, as you get older, there's just all kinds of physical challenges that people aren't expecting. It wasn't in my family tree at all as far as leukemia and all that. So just a total surprise. But again, just reinforced the beauty of having you guys already in place to step in. That's just part of God's timing, and you know, we could look at the disappointment of having a diagnosis like that, but also just celebrating His timing and confident that He's going to see us through this, and just praying that we'll have many, many more years of serving alongside you guys. So,
oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
And then just along with that, are there continuing assignments that you're involved in, or are there new things God is giving you to steward despite kind of what you're facing in this season?
Well, tell how that happened with the pastor.
Yeah, it happened in May of this year. Got the unofficial diagnosis. 1 week later, got the official diagnosis. And 1 week later, knowing that I had the diagnosis, our pastor asked if we would come on board at our church and serve alongside another couple who's doing older adult ministry. Mm. So it was just a beautiful thing to be asked right after a cancer diagnosis to serve. So that was very, very encouraging. And so the other couple that were serving alongside, we deeply appreciate them and admire them. They are also in their 70s. So the pastor has commissioned us two couples to find a younger couple to lead the ministry going forward. So it'll be probably a season of working together, but also finding new leadership. So that's huge.
Yeah, so we feel very blessed to be in a church. We attend a Calvary Chapel here in Scotts Valley. And so our pastor, Matt Valencia, we're just so appreciative of his picture of the total body of Christ and the importance of intergenerational ministry. So he asked us to serve with the leadership team for the young adults and also with Legacy, the older adults. So we feel like we're in a really good position to help merge, you know, some of both in some serving and social opportunities. So we feel a real sense of excitement about that.
I'll bet you do. And we feel it on our end, truly. All that you have learned through the years, you're able to share the ups and the downs. You've always been so good at that. Even the downs you share so well. Judy, I love listening to your downs because you make them sound so fun.
I'll try to get another one for you.
But isn't that the God we serve? He's just so full of grace. You guys are incredible examples of a Christian couple, Christian people that continue to step, giving God something to direct and bless. That always, of course, a process that he is glorified. We find our fulfillment in, and we continue in that relationship with him. Thank you for being such an incredible example of that. As we come to a close here, I want to ask you a two-part question. This is going back to the baton. What would you say to the person that is struggling to pass on? It's time to pass the baton, but there's a bit of a struggle there to let it go and the complications that can arise in the passing. What would you say to that person? How would you encourage them?
Yeah, I just think the fear of the unknown is something that kind of keeps people hanging on to that baton, and they just don't know what's thereafter. They pass the baton. So some of it is just trusting God and having a sense that he is going to give purpose. He's going to provide opportunities to continue serving. It's not like your life is over, but I just really think it's a very necessary thing to do later in life. You don't want to hang on to that baton too long. We've seen a lot of ministry at the church level with older adult ministry where the leaders held on very long, and it's either their energy just got wiped out, or their health, unexpected health concerns, or they're caring for an elderly parent. Right now, we have all those things we were facing, and so it's just time. It becomes time, and it doesn't mean that you're not valuable in God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. It just means that you have energy, you know, invest in somebody else while you have the time and energy and mental acuity to actually pass on the baton. But don't wait until you're at death's door and then just say, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Can I ask specifically to this, the fear of the changes that will happen after you let go of the baton? Sometimes that can keep someone holding on to their baton for a little too long before they let it go. Could you speak to that? Because it's such a reality out there.
Yeah. We just saw a post yesterday just talking about the fog that's out there, just thinking about retirement. It's just kind of a fog. And it's like people don't know what it's going to be like. You know, am I just going to wake up every morning and, you know, taking a dog for the walk and all that? But is there going to be purpose after I leave my job or after I pass this ministry on? You know, and you just have to trust the Lord that he's got something for you. And it's neat when you can be dabbling in some areas already and not just cold turkey, you know, leave your job with nothing on the plate. But, you know, even if there's nothing there, just you have to just trust the Lord that at some point it's the right thing to do. So Judy has said, you know, we just don't want to be the cat hanging on to the branch that just won't go. But at the same time, we don't want to just wash our hands, just say, hey, we're out of here. And if yes continues, you know, so be it. If it doesn't, it's okay too. But no, we want ministry to thrive and continue.
And one last question to the listener that might feel like it's too late to step into something new, whatever that might be. But yeah, often in age, people step back and they don't involve themselves so much. And some of that has to do with, I'm just too old, or I think it's too late. And we know that that's just not biblically true at all. The opposite is true. So talk to us. How can you encourage the listener that might think that it's a little too late for something new, something fresh?
Yeah, well, Dan, I appreciate that you even start the question out with if there is a listener. And I feel like that's one of the things that we've done whenever it's been podcast or any written word or anything. You know, if God used this, if it helps one person, if it helps more, it's in your hands. You know, we're not responsible for the numbers. But indeed, if there is a person listening to this podcast and you feel like, you know, you have some discretionary time and you would like to use that in service for Jesus. Number one, as you're seeking him daily, and as you're looking at the word, really pray about what is maybe something that you could do that might be a little bit out of your comfort zone, or could be in line with something that you're passionate about, one of your hobbies. But I can promise you that there are young people in your church, in your neighborhood, that would benefit greatly by being your friend.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
We just cannot say that enough, that that's one thing. In fact, we're working with our leadership in our church now, that any young person that wants an older mentor, any older mentor that would take on, you know, a young person, we just feel like there's going to be such value to those friendships, because this is what we've seen in our 17 years of working with YES. People are not afraid to take a step of faith and do something that might be a little stretching for them, but go out and meet that younger person or that older person. Your life is going to be so much richer. And I think it's really important for people our age and older to know that it's not that, oh man, have we got some truths to bestow upon you. Hopefully we do have a few nuggets, but man, can we ever learn from the younger generation?
Oh, yeah.
We have so much to learn. Wow, our kids are teaching us all the time. But we have so much to learn from the younger generation.
Yeah.
And together, I think that when we combine the two, and that we are more intergenerational in our ministry, that is just a win-win for the kingdom.
Judy, that is such an encouragement. And I am so thankful for you both, your heart, and just all of that you have shared today. Judy, would you mind praying us out, just praying for those listeners? Maybe they are having trouble letting go, or maybe they're having trouble stepping in. So if you would just pray, and we will close after that.
Thank you. Lord Jesus, Wes and I come now with Dan and Shawnee and whoever will be listening to this podcast. First of all, we just have to say how much we love you and how blessed we are to be your children. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Jesus, for all that you did leading up to the cross and on the cross for our sins. We could never, ever thank you enough. And that by your stripes, we are clean, we are forgiven, and we are your kids. And that is the best. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I pray that if there's anyone or whoever is listening, if they just need that gentle nudge from your Holy Spirit, or maybe a big nudge, but they just need to take that risk and get out and be more diligent, more proactive in being that disciple for you, whatever it looks like, whether it's, you know, going out, sharing a cup of coffee with a young adult, teaching a young person how to do something in construction, work on a car, sew, cook, whatever. The sky's the limit on what so many seniors have to offer. I pray that you will give them the ability to know next step. And as they bathe that in prayer, that Jesus, you will bring to their mind exactly what they can do and who they need to even talk to about making this happen, whether it's a youth pastor, a children's pastor. But I just pray that people will use their giftedness. We know that we are not saved by our gifts, but we know that as a result of serving you, that we just want to use those gifts to be the best disciples that we can be. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you so much for Dan and Shawnee,
Yes.
and I pray that your covering will be upon them and their family, and that you will anoint them and keep them just so fresh in your word and their relationship with you and with each other. And we trust you that the ministry of Yes, Young Enough to Serve, is just going to absolutely soar under the Parodies leadership. We trust you for that in Jesus'
Yes,
name.
Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank
Amen.
You.
Wow. Wes and Judy, thank you so much. And thank you for being a part of our ministry's first ever Young Enough video podcast.
Wow.
And who better to guest with, if you will, than the two of you, the founding directors of this ministry. We are so blessed to be able to do this
asking.
With you.
We love you guys.
Love
thank
you so
you.
Much.
Hey, we love you.
Bye.
Too. Have a blessed day in sunny California.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.